Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Every Little Thing by Lily Seabrook, narrated by Ellie Gossage. Chapter 1. Harper. Spring in Bayview was beautiful. I was gonna miss it once I left this town. I was a baker. I was probably supposed to love winter, staying inside and baking Christmas cakes and Valentine's treats, all the sweets to get everyone through the colder months. But frankly, I hated it. The moment I saw those first snowflakes, it was me against the world. And it stayed that way until March rolled around and the blooms poked up. The trees started to get some color again. And today was my favorite day of the year. The first day above 50 degrees. I had the bakery doors propped open. Opened all the windows, and I let the sweet scent of springtime mix with the rich aroma of buttered pastry and bread that filled the bakery, as I slotted French breads into their place by the door, filling up the basket as Anders came into the building.
"Oh, I almost walked right into you," he laughed. "Good morning, Harper."
"Hey, Anders, how are you and the wife?" He smiled wider.
"Well, you know how it is. Weather's warming up, so I'm trying to convince her she's too old to be out planting hollyhocks, and I'll let you guess how much luck I've had convincing her."
"She's a talented gardener. Can't really keep her away."
"She's a silly little duckling, and the most stubborn person I've ever met, that's what she is."
He chuckled.
"Well, I can't complain. I've just been talking about it to Emberlyn yesterday, and she volunteered to help Nancy tend to the garden when she needed it. Said she'd get Aria to help and everything."
I softened into a smile.
"Emberlyn's a big softy." "So she is. Her girlfriend, too. Just less likely to admit it. I wonder when they're going to get married, those two."
I laughed, turning back to finish slotting the breads into the basket there.
"They've always been comfy taking their time. I feel like they're the type to date for 8-9 years before they get married. I bet Gwen and Kay are probably the ones getting married first, even if Will's going to be jealous. Out of carrot for right now, but there's chocolate. Always chocolate." "Spring's in the air. Nancy's not the only one who wants carrot cake now."
He walked alongside me as I headed back in the direction of the register. Him heading for the display of mini cupcakes, his usual, one for his wife every day.
Talk about sickeningly sweet. That was probably something Emberlyn and Aria would do. Probably something I could see Priscilla doing for Annabelle 60 years down the line.
Anders said the exact thing I needed him to not follow up with.
"Everyone's been coupling up so fast this past year, you know? You'll have to find someone, too, before long." "Ugh, I don't need that. I'm keeping busy running this place. Besides, I
pursed my lips. I didn't need to get into the details with Anders.
Poor old man just wanted to get his wife a cupcake. Relationships are annoying."
He hummed lightly to himself.
"I think Emberlyn used to say things like that."
I parted ways, heading around to the other side of the register as Crystal corralled her 3 adorable little daughters up to checkout, making small talk with her, the weather, the festival coming up soon, as I bagged up her things and swiped her card. Sam came up after her, grinning at me as he leaned over the counter.
"Hey there," he said.
I glanced down at his empty hands and back up at him.
"I'm not on the menu," I said.
He laughed. Most of what he ever did. He was a big guy, muscular and always grinning and laughing at everything, like it was impossible to take anything seriously.
"Nah, nothing like that. Just wanted to ask you some insider info."
"How titillating," I deadpanned. He whispered, a Sam whisper, the kind that was loud enough everyone in the store could still hear.
"What kind of cake does Jenna like?"
I relaxed. "Oh yeah, her birthday's up soon, isn't it? I should bring her something. And not one of those creepy clown dolls she likes."
"Hey, don't knock the clowns, they grow on you."
"I'd rather die."
"She likes a 7-Up cake." "Score! I'm buying her one. Do you sell them?"
"You're in luck. I wouldn't be trying to sell you one if I didn't. On the cake display rack with all the others." He grinned, leaning in closer and whispering, still just as loud, "You want to know a secret?"
"Do I ever?" I said, voice flat. "I forgot it was her birthday. I just wanted to get her a cake." I don't know why I thought anything different.
He left for the cakes just as Anders came back up to the counter, smiling after Sam, holding the one mini cupcake. I already had his order rung up, and he already had the cash in hand for it.
"Sam and Jenna are together now, too, right?"
Open secret, I think, is the current status.
"Like I said, you've got to find your someone, too. I'm sure they'll be lucky to have you."
"Eh." I closed the cash register drawer and tossed his receipt in the trash. Somehow I found I couldn't make eye contact with him, the kind of guilt I didn't want to acknowledge right now.
"People could live without me. My best trade is my cakes, and people can just buy those."
"Oh, nonsense. I'll ask Nancy. I'm sure she'll be able to set you up with someone. You know, she used to be quite the genius matchmaker back in her day."
"Spare me. You like girls best, right? Do you have a type?"
Hell, if I knew the answer to that anyway. The only person I really had on my mind was the absolute worst person to date anyway.
"Still trying to figure it out. Just promise me you won't actually get Nancy on matchmaking duty finding me a wife, or a husband, or anything else."
"We'll have to see about that,"
he laughed, taking the little box I'd put his cupcake in.
"I'm just saying, no better use of youth than being young. Having fun and making mistakes is part of the process. Spring is the season to fall in love."
"Spring is the season to make cake, just like the other three. Have a great day, Anders. Tell Nancy I said hi." "In a very happily single way." Anders had only just left before Sam was back at the register with a 7-Up cake, and he gave me a wrinkly, creased $100 bill, counterfeit checker pen marks already on it. "Who in the world bought coffee with 100? I said, checking it with the counterfeit pen before I shoved it into the drawer.
"Paisley, don't know where she got it."
"Right, frankly, who knows why I asked. That's all for you, Sam?"
"Yes, ma'am." "Hey, you have anyone you're going to the festival with?"
I'd had enough of this conversation already. I hung my head.
"Me, myself, and I, the best company. Are you officially going with Jenna?"
"Oh, no, nothing like that. We're not dating or anything. Not strictly. I mean, just friends. You know how it is."
God, this guy sucked at lying. I wanted to watch him play poker.
"Uh-huh. Well, I hope you two enjoy the cake."
"Peace out, man,"
he said on his way out the door, cake in hand, and I sighed. Everyone in this town was bizarre. I liked to pretend that was why I was leaving, but I was kind of uselessly in love with the weirdest person in the entire town, so maybe it was my weakness anyway. I got a lull between customers after Sam left, the early morning crowds gone, and I was in the middle of restocking cinnamon buns in the gentle quiet, music playing through the speakers, chatter and laughter from the park not far down the street, the wind murmuring in the trees along Amber Lane, when the door chimed again and I glanced back to where Emberlyn pushed through the door, a blissful look on her features, heading for the bread racks. Girl was late. She was usually in here in the mornings. Unfortunately, I knew all too well what it meant when she came in the morning, smiling that happy smile. It had started when she'd gotten together with Aria, and that was really all I needed or wanted to know. Everyone in Bayview wanted Aria, and Emberlyn was pretty too. A woman on the shorter side with a bob of blonde hair and soft features that had a gentle sort of baby face look about them, and always dressed nicely to boot. But it didn't matter how attractive they both were, I didn't want to think too much about their sex life.
"Sourdough today?"
I said, walking up behind her as she started for the register, and she jolted, giving me a wide-eyed look.
"Christ, you're gonna give me a heart attack," she said. "You're not normally lurking in the corner waiting to jump me."
"I'm normally out on the floor restocking at this time. Not my fault you're in late."
"I slept in this morning."
"Sure she did."
I'd learned from their next-door neighbor and Arya's little sister Paisley that they had a thing for morning sex. Poor Paisley looked like she wanted to die about the fact that she knew. Of course, it was really on her for staying up so late every night that she had to hear the morning sex from the next house over to begin with. I went around to the other side of the counter, ringing up Emberlyn's sourdough loaf. She came in for a loaf of bread almost every day, always a different one, and she'd base what she'd have for dinner on what bread she got. "Just the sourdough?" I said, bagging it up for her, and she leaned back, looking out the window. "Maybe a cake? I could use your advice." "I'd recommend..." "Do not recommend the most expensive one." I fought back a smile, leaning over the counter, folding my arms on the wood surface. "All right, all right. So what's the occasion?"
"Having a little get-together tonight at the park. Kind of a picnic thing to celebrate spring."
"Paisley's idea?"
"It's like you know the woman."
"A little too well." She made a face.
I hadn't even meant it like that, but, well, maybe it just slipped out.
I had to assume she was just wrinkling her nose at the idea of anybody knowing Paisley that way, and not that she had any idea what kind of ways Paisley and I know each other.
"We're having sandwiches," she said. "Just, you know, cold cuts, cheese, lettuce, and tomato, that kind of thing. Seitan ones, too, for Priscilla, so her girlfriend doesn't murder me. What do you think for dessert?"
"Cupcakes? Might be nice to have finger food for a picnic. I have some lemon ones with whipped cream and strawberry filling I think will be a hit."
She settled into a smile, but there was something strained about it. "You're a genius. I'll take them. And obviously you're invited. I'd assumed Paisley had already passed along the invite."
"I haven't actually seen her since yesterday morning when she was arguing at Hogshead."
She rolled her eyes, a dry smile on her lips. "I'll bet $1 million she thinks she's invited you and just forgot to actually do the inviting part."
"Probably went to do it and got distracted by cheese. Yeah, if you're free tonight." "Yeah, I'm..."
I chewed my lip, busying myself moving to the cake display case, tying up the cupcakes in the box. Emberlyn raised her eyebrows.
"It's no pressure if you're busy, just a casual thing."
I really was supposed to tell her. Tell somebody. What was I going to do, up and disappear one day and everybody would be left scratching their heads, wondering where I'd gone? Emberlyn would be banging at the door to the empty place looking for her bread. And Anders needed to find a new place for mini cupcakes or Nancy would be devastated.
"Nah, I was just thinking about my schedule," I said. "Tonight's all clear. I'll be there. I'll bring some shandies." "Ugh, I'll have to tie up Paisley to keep her from shotgunning them all."
I set down the box of cupcakes, pausing, looking at the expression she had. Something tense there, just under the surface. I bit.
"What's bugging you?"
She hung her head. "Am I that obvious?"
"Nah, I just know people's tells. It's how I find their pain points and sell them cakes. So spill."
She chewed her cheek, casting her gaze to the window as thin, streaky clouds drifted overhead.
"It's kind of..."
"I won't judge."
"Okay, but maybe you should. I guess it boils down to that I'm a huge dumbass."
I put my hands up.
"I'm friends with Paisley. I'm used to huge dumbasses."
She laughed, a glint in her eyes.
"Okay, fair point. It's about my music. You remember that label I was with before? The one that cut me off at the last second?"
I nodded.
"They screwed you over, yeah. I don't blame you for taking a year off music production and never going near them again."
She scratched her arm absently. "So... that's where the dumbass part comes back in. They offered me another gig, and I took it."
I raised my eyebrows. "Masochist all of a sudden?"
"I guess. Hell, if I know, just..." She looked down, fussing with her wallet as she got her card out. Eventually, she mumbled just under her breath. "It's still a huge label. It's the highest profile gig I've ever been offered, and I just... there's tons of other producers who work with them all the time, and maybe one bad experience doesn't mean they're always going to be awful, you know?"
"I guess, but..." I pursed my lips.
Should I have a cake ready and waiting to comfort you if they fuck you over again?
No, I don't.
She drew herself up taller, forcing in a breath to meet my eyes.
I don't think it's going to go like that. I feel confident. It's a big company. There's more than one person there. This team I'm with is completely different from the one before. The guy, I checked, the guy who gave me the gig and then cut me off before, he's not working at the label anymore altogether. And I know I regretted it and cursed the heavens and wished I'd never taken it, but I want to give it another chance. Give the company another chance. Give...
I paused. Give yourself another chance, I said, finally, and she nodded, her gaze dropping again.
I guess, yeah.
You're still dealing with what it did to your self-confidence last time, and you want to prove that it was a fluke. She let out a harsh sigh.
I guess, maybe. That's a generous way of looking at it. I thought maybe it was just that I was a dumbass who was easily tempted by money and recognition.
Can be both. I took her card, swiped it through the machine. You know, go for it. Give them hell. I think it's a good idea. You know that even if they screw you over, it won't blindside you and that you can recover. So if this feels like something you need to do, then do it. She relaxed into the biggest, most relieved smile, taking her card back as I handed it over.
God, I needed to hear that. I mean, Aria said so too, but she'd support me with anything, no matter how harebrained. Thanks, Harps. Just please, if this goes badly, please wait for like at least 6 weeks before making fun of me for it.
Will do. I pulled off the receipt, tossing it into the trash. I'll sign a contract and everything, but I don't think we'll need it. You're gonna ace it. I know you'll come up with something good.
Well, yeah, I'm a genius.
I laughed dryly. Paisley's rubbing off on you. She put her hands on her hips.
She's my best friend. We're going to do that. Just because she wrongly thinks she's a genius doesn't mean I can't know I'm a genius.
Yeah, yeah. I can see the similarities on rare occasions. I handed her over her bread and cupcakes, a dry smile on my lips. You're all set, Emberlyn. I'll see you at the picnic then.
Yeah, I'll text you the updates and stuff. Thanks again.
She took them with a soft smile, taking a step back from the register.
Catch you there.
She was a good person. A good producer, too. Not to mention a good friend. I probably could have just told her. I needed to get it off my chest to somebody before it tore me apart. But just not today. I was going to miss this place. It was nice seeing what kind of bread Emberlyn came in to buy each morning.
Chapter 2. Paisley.
The bubble tea shop was sickeningly adorable. Just the way it should have been. Jamie was in line in front of me, and that jerk took forever to order. And I had important things to do here, so I sent him a text telling him to look out the front door. And when he checked his phone and turned to the front door of the place, I cut in line in front of him just as the person Kay was ringing up now moved on ahead and gave an opening for me. Jamie shot me a betrayed look, but he'd live.
Hey, Paisley, Kay said, beaming at me. What are you having this time?
I put my hands on my hips.
You?
She faltered.
I'm taken. That's really flattering, though.
Kay was unbearable sometimes. She was so sweet and sunshiny and positive, and I still couldn't get my head around the idea that she, of all people in this world, was dating Gwen, the crappiest woman I ever adored. Still, she had fit right into Bayview ever since she moved here in December. She was the kind of bubbly, easy personality everyone in town liked. And at the rate things were going, people were going to start liking her more than they liked me. Which, really, it hardly seemed fair, didn't it? She fit the aesthetic of the place like a horse fit the water, or whatever the saying was, with her bright blue hair and piercings, wearing the pink and blue uniform of the place. She looked like a set piece here. Still, she wasn't supposed to be here. Ha ha, I said. Very funny, Kay. What I mean is, what are you doing here? Your girlfriend is going to spend the whole picnic complaining bitterly to everyone in earshot if you're not there. Do you really want me, Paisley McLeod, to have to listen to that?
Kay scratched her head.
Far be it from me to do that to the venerable Paisley MacLeod, but I have a shift here. Trust me, I really want to go, but you can ask Danny. She'll let you take off for the event.
Her expression faltered.
I wouldn't want to cause any trouble for her. She's been so good to me and everything. It's fine. I can stick it out.
I put my hands up.
Meaning you didn't even ask? Good Lord. I guess I have to do everything myself. Also, just like a small bubble tea for me, please. Whatever the one MB got last time was, I want that. I'm gonna rub it in her face.
Small green tea boba with Paisley?
Kay stopped halfway through ringing me up as I pushed through the swinging door behind the counter, heading for the back.
What are you?
Oh, just put it on my tab, I called, pushing through the swing door into the back of the house. Tidying up boxes on shelves was Danny, a tall brunette with an athletic build, hair up in a ponytail, and she glanced sidelong at me.
Paisley, she said, how nice to see you back here.
Kay needs to take off for the party, I said cheerfully. Danny let out a noncommittal noise, turning back to the boxes.
I didn't realize you were the staffing manager here.
You're not going to keep her, are you? Gwen's going to be outraged. And if Gwen is outraged, then she's going to yell at Annabelle.
Score.
Danny's expression faltered just a little. She'd hooked up with Annabelle once or twice, and my sources told me she totally still had a crush. I put the pressure on while I had the advantage.
Half the regular crowd is going to be there, so there's no use running up operating costs while nobody's coming by, right?
Danny hung her head.
I guess if everyone's going to be over there, I could close solo. Does Kay want to take off?
Duh. It's only the most amazing party ever. You should come by once you're done closing, too. Maybe hit on Annabelle.
She turned her back to me, opening a box and rifling through the contents.
Annabelle has a girlfriend, she said idly.
Oh, am I the one who gets to break the news to you? Man, you're behind on things. It's an open relationship, and Annabelle still likes hookups.
She paused. I turned back to the door, a bounce in my step.
I'll tell Kay she can take off once you're done with the count.
Sure.
Another win for Paisley. I was going to have to get a trophy wall soon to hold them all. I strode back out through the door just as Kay set down the cute green bubble tea drink that Emberlyn had been a cruel monster yesterday and refused to let me steal. And I picked it up and took a long sip.
Oh my God, it's so good, I'm going to cry, I said. Also, Danny says you can take off when she's done with the count.
Kay stopped, eyes wide.
She did? Really? How did you?
Paisley has her ways.
She laughed, eyes sparkling.
Paisley does have her ways. Wow, I don't know how to thank you. I was so bummed I'd have to miss it.
You can thank me by not charging me for the drink.
Kay laughed.
No, and we don't do tabs.
Damn it. It was worth a try.
I went begrudgingly with her to the register, where I had to make the great personal sacrifice of swiping my card, and Jamie still gave me a disbelieving look as he stepped up to the register next to place his order. I stood off to the corner, underneath the shelves of cute knickknacks, and I took a picture of myself with the drink and texted it to Emberlyn, typing a caption underneath.
Guess who's the winner now?
She replied right away. I'm not jealous that you bought your own, if this was some weird ploy for that. I rolled my eyes.
Ugh, you're boring. I'm showing off to Harper instead.
She started typing, and then she stopped. And then, after too long for such a short message, she sent, Go for it. I wrinkled my nose. I probably shouldn't have blabbed Emberlyn about having fucked Harper that one time. It had made things awkward between me and MB every time Harps came up. It had been an accident, and at least I didn't mention the second time. I texted back,
Managed to free Kay from the shackles of modern employment for the evening, so she's coming to the picnic. Want anything from here?
Hey, finally have some good news. Thanks, Paze. I'm all good, though. See you too soon. I stuck out my tongue at the screen.
I am good news, Em.
Not content with showing off to just my loser best friend, I went to text the selfie to Harper, too, but I paused, looking at it before I went back in and ran it through a filter.
just clearing up my complexion a little. It was fine if I looked like a raggedy mess to Emberlyn, but to other people, I just wanted to look good. Guess what I have that you don't? She replied even faster than Emberlyn had. Who the fuck stretches out an apostrophe like that? I scoffed.
Me?
There was no reply for a while, and I glared over as Danny came out from the back, pulling on an apron and talking to Kay in low voices. The way Danny wouldn't make eye contact with Kay, fussing with other things, that whole open relationship revelation had really done a number on her. I could practically hear her fantasizing about hitting on Annabelle at the party. Another excellent job done by Paisley McLeod. My phone lit up with a text from Harper, a selfie of her with a massive cake. She'd used a filter too, so at least I wasn't the only one. Guess what I have that you don't? Surreptitiously, I scanned both ways before I saved the picture. It wasn't a weird thing. Emberlyn would never let me live it down. But I just like seeing pictures of my friends happy. It was nice to have a collection. Trade? I replied quickly. $150 cake for a $5 drink you've probably mostly finished by now? Tempting. Somehow I'll pass up on this.
Boo! You're going to the picnic, right? You never replied to my invite.
Invite? You never sent me an invite. I rolled my eyes.
Oh my God, woman, pay attention. I sent you a letter and everything.
A letter? Why a fucking letter?
Admittedly, I hadn't really thought about that. I'd just had paper and a pen and a fancy envelope. Come to think of it, I wasn't sure where I'd gotten the envelope, so it felt like the obvious thing to do. I'd spent like an hour styling the letter, making it pretty too, and she was just going to ignore it? Honestly, I didn't know why I bothered with the effort. People didn't deserve all of me.
You didn't need to wait for me, Kay said, stepping over from behind the counter to where I was standing in the corner.
I scowled. And walk over there alone? Like a loser? I was just showing off my drink to my friends anyway.
She laughed, eyes sparkling. Out of everyone in Bayview, I think Kay had the most genuine laugh. Like she'd never heard of anything other than just big smiles and genuine compliments and sunshine and rainbows.
You're a mystery as ever, Paisley. You mind if I head upstairs and get changed first? I want to look cute.
Only on the condition I get to raid your fridge for cheese. She beamed.
Go for it. I have Gouda.
I scowled. Gouda? Do I look like an animal? Ugh, I'll pass.
I didn't realize you had such strong feelings.
Still, I followed her upstairs, chattering about how Oliver was going to be at the party too, and how that was probably enough said about that. The rumors about him and Connor to keep an eye out to see if they made out at any point. And at some point, I realized we were in her cute little apartment above the bubble tea place, and she'd shut the bedroom door between us for her to get changed. I shrugged and helped myself to her fridge, checking for cheese. But alas, she really did just have the Gouda. The woman was uncultured.
Ready to go?
Kay said, once she'd stepped out of the bedroom, dressed like a poster advert with a plaid pleated skirt and fishnet leggings and sleeves. And I didn't even know they made fishnet sleeves. She'd thrown on more accessories than I think I owned total.
Jeez, you dress like you give a damn, I said. I can't fathom it. Yeah, I'm ready. You look cute like that. It's a signature style.
Coming from anybody else, that would have sounded like a veiled insult. I was wearing an oversized sweater and shorts, and my hair looked like it had just gone through a wind tunnel. I knew. Kay didn't know how to insult people, though. I wasn't going to push the topic either way. If I protested too much, she'd start to get the idea I was insecure, and that topic would spread like wildfire. I was supposed to be the queen of gossip. The gossip couldn't be about me. And I guess I just didn't want certain people knowing certain things about how I felt about certain things.
So, just to check, I said, mostly just to change the subject as we headed downstairs and out into the brisk spring air. You moved into your own place instead of moving in with Gwen because you'd never in your life agree on decor, right?
She shrugged, looking up at the sky, her hands in her jacket pockets.
I think it's more just that I needed this.
A shorter commute?
Want to be able to just fall down the stairs and end up at work?
Nah, just, you know, my own place. My own...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?